Utah Democrats call for increased education funding. The Utah House passes a bill that makes a legislator pay more transparent. And Governor Gary Herbert declares today Fred Korematsu Day. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, January 30th. I'm Brian Grimmett.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bomas. Good morning. On the second day of the 2013 legislative session, Utah Democrats called for a dramatic increase in state education funding, but just where that money might come from remains uncertain. KUER's Terry Gilday reports.
Democratic Party Chairman and State Senator Jim DeBacchus outlined the problems facing the state's education system at a press conference Tuesday. Utah has the most crowded classrooms in the nation, and 45% of minority students in the state aren't graduating from high school. DeBacchus says his party is still crafting its plan to solve these problems, but an income tax increase may be necessary.
We don't have the wherewithal to look at the public in the state of Utah and say, it's a catastrophe. And you know what? If we're going to go from 50th to 40th, we may have to get some other revenue. I mean, somebody needs to say that. We haven't had an increase since Governor Bangeter's time.
Republican Senator Lyle Hilliard is the co-chair of the Executive Appropriations Committee. He says two questions need to be answered before lawmakers know how much money can be allocated to education.
Number one, how much money we're going to have? And number two, what's the priorities of the Education Appropriations Committee?
Senator Hilliard says neither the Republican majority nor Governor Herbert are considering a tax increase at this point. Terry Gilday, KUER News.
The Utah House Health and Human Services Committee gave a favorable recommendation to a bill yesterday that would allow mental health and substance abuse counselors to provide therapy remotely. KUER's Brian Grimmett reports.
House Bill 56 clarifies the right for licensed mental health professionals and substance abuse counselors to provide therapy using the telephone or the internet. It also creates a short transitional period that allows licensed professionals in other states to provide therapy remotely for patients that have recently moved to Utah. The bill's sponsor, Republican Representative Rhonda Minlove, says she recognizes that finding quality mental health can be difficult, especially in rural areas and during times of transition.
That's why this legislation is being brought forward, so that we can continue to do the things that we've been doing to serve people throughout the state and provide access.
While the bill passed out of committee unanimously, several members had a few issues with it, including Republican Representative Brian Green.
I am concerned that we have, we're trying to create an exemption here in state code that is neither beneficial, necessary, and maybe not even enforceable.
The bill now heads to the House floor for further debate. Brian Grimmett, KUER News.
The Utah House of Representatives passed a joint resolution yesterday meant to make the way legislators are paid more transparent and fair. The new plan would deliver a lawmaker's entire compensation as salary. That's just a little less than $16,500 a year. It's traditionally been delivered in thirds for meals, lodging, and salary. Also, the resolution would now require lawmakers to submit receipts to be reimbursed for expenses during the session. Republican Majority Leader Brad Dee of Ogden says the plan forces lawmakers to account for their expenses.
We have compensated legislators for lodging and meals without the audit trail available, meaning the fact that if I didn't turn in a receipt for my lodging at a particular hotel, I was still reimbursed for that lodging.
The resolution passed the House on a vote of 70-4 and now moves on to the Senate for consideration.
For KUER News, I'm Andrea Smartin. Utah's governor has declared today, January 30th, Fred Korematsu Day of Civil Liberties. Korematsu was a Japanese-American who was interned against his will in the Central Utah War Relocation Center in Topaz during World War II. Here to talk about Korematsu's fight for civil liberties is the president of the Topaz Museum Board, Jane Beckwith. Jane, there were more than 11,000 people interned in the Topaz camp here in Utah. What was remarkable about Fred Korematsu, and why are we remembering him today?
Fred Korematsu was one of four people who protested in rather dramatic ways against Japanese-American internment. He refused to be incarcerated with the rest of the Japanese-American people and was later arrested, and his case went to the Supreme Court. He lost that Supreme Court battle, but later on he was vindicated.
And here we are today holding him up as a hero for civil liberties, but maybe not everybody saw him that way. He's a controversial figure in some ways.
Yes, that's true. He had had plastic surgery on his eyes, and he had denied his Japanese ethnicity to a certain extent. And then, of course, when he came into camp, everyone else had gone fairly peacefully, but he had made a fuss, and so he felt like he was shunned while he was in Topaz. There had been people who had taken the position that if Japanese Americans wanted to prove how loyal they were to America, they would just do what the government had mandated them to do. But in 1983, when his case was reopened, it was reopened because people found out that the United States government had suppressed information that confirmed that the incarceration of Japanese Americans was not needed. And so when that was brought out, there were a lot of people who felt like if Fred hadn't taken his strong position, then no one would have ever found out that the United States had suppressed that information.
Looking back at the whole of Fred Korematsu's life, what do you think he's done for Japanese Americans and for civil liberties in the U.S.?
Well, the power of one individual is rather remarkable in the United States. For one person, especially a 23-year-old kid, basically, to say no to something that the military, the War Relocation Authority, President Roosevelt, everyone had said was a military necessity. For him to say no, it was not true. That's a rather daring and provocative position. But beyond that, he maintained a courageous position for his entire life. I think that's rather admirable.
And this is obviously something that you care about. You're working on establishing a Topaz Museum. Why is it important to remember what happened at Topaz?
Well, I think the Constitution, in a very basic sort of level, guarantees a sense of fairness to people. I personally don't think it was fair to take people away from their homes, incarcerate them, make them seem like they were less than stellar citizens when, in fact, they were. There was no sabotage. Nobody was arrested for being a traitor in the Japanese-American community. And the prejudice translated into something that was horrendous for 120,000 people. Seems like more people should know about it.
Jane Beckwith is president of the Topaz Museum Board. Thanks for being with us on Fred Korematsu Day.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Utah's former attorney general says he'll be helping President Obama build support for comprehensive immigration reform. Shurtleff was at President Obama's immigration speech Tuesday in Las Vegas. The president outlined broad proposals for putting illegal immigrants on a path to citizenship while cracking down on businesses that employ people illegally as well as tightening broader security. Shurtleff told the Salt Lake Tribune it's important that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is on board. The church gave its tacit support to the Utah Compact, a set of principles drawn up by business and religious leaders in 2010 that calls for a balance of enforcement and compassion toward illegal immigrants. James Lee Sorensen has provided a $13 million gift to the University of Utah. The U says it will use the money to create a Center for Global Impact Investing. The goal is to teach students how to create large-scale societal change through investments and business. Sorensen is a businessman known for developing digital compression software that helped usher in the era of online video. Cache County prosecutors have charged a man with failing to provide 25 horses with food, water, or shelter. One colt died of apparent starvation earlier this month during an investigation. Darwin Lynn Nielsen was booked last week on 25 charges of animal cruelty. And finally, the Grand Canyon Trust has been helping the federal government acquire 8 small parcels of private land next to Highway 12 through the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. The Salt Lake Tribune reports the trust had bought the parcels to prevent them from being developed. The BLM dipped into its Land and Water Conservation Fund to buy the parcels. Some other pockets of private land have also been acquired by BLM since the monument was created in 1996. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, January 30th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.